You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Our flag is proudly floating on the land and on the plain. Shout, shout, the battle cry of freedom. Beneath it off we've conquered and we'll conquer off the chain. Shout, shout, the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally round the party flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout, the battle cry of freedom. Our gallant boys.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, as we kick off Confederate History Month 2023, our third and final hour live from this remote broadcast in South Carolina, the beautiful upcountry of South Carolina, where it all started for our Confederate forebears. We're here for to promote the honorable cause of Free South, available online at Amazon.com. Patrick Martin, he's leaving, ladies and gentlemen. Patrick is stepping out, but we didn't get a chance to say goodbye to you at the end of that second hour. Say goodbye to everybody, and thank you again, Patrick, for being
thank
on with
so
us tonight.
Thank you, James, so much for the opportunity here to speak, and thank you, everybody here at Dixie Republic. Thank you very much for this incredible day. I just can't say enough. I'm humbled and honored.
Hey,
thank
I'm you. Shaking the hand of Patrick Martin. Let's hear it. A big round of applause for Patrick Martin. And now, another great champion for our people and one of its finest spokesmen. We've got Mark here from the League of the South. Mark was on with us the last time we were here at Dixie Republic, which was last July. Mark, say hello to everybody. Give them your name and rank with the League, and let's get down to business.
Good evening, everybody. It's a pleasure to be here. Mark Tommy, I'm the executive officer of the League of the South.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Executive officer of the League of the South, which puts me just under Dr. Hill, the president, and also sit on the board of directors.
And for our people, we're sliding all over the place with different people and different vocal modulations, so I'm trying to ride the scale here tonight. But League of the South, we've been running the ads for the League for years on this program, and for good reason. The League of the South is a home for people who share our concerns, and I know you want to give a quick plug on how people can join the League.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
To which I belong.
Exactly, yeah. The League is...
Under your leadership.
The League is a Southern Nationalist organization, which means that what we want is a free and independent South today. I've said many times in the past that I honor my ancestor. I've got several ancestors who were Confederate soldiers, and I admire them greatly and the efforts that they made for Southern independence 160 years ago. But the reason I'm a part of the League and involved in the Southern Nationalist cause today is because I want to finish what they started.
That's right.
It's great to look backwards at our history and honor the great men and women who are part of that history, but they were struggling for Southern independence. They were struggling for a free and independent Southern Republic, as General Lee said, that we would have a name and place among the nations of the earth. And so my involvement with the Southern Nationalist cause today and with the Southern independence movement is I want to help bring about what my great-great-grandfather couldn't see happen in 1865.
Not for lack of trying and not for lack of being on the right side.
Of being men among men and being on the right side. But, you know, in God's providence, it wasn't meant to be at that time. But, you know, our duty is to continue the fight.
They were right then. We are right now.
We're right
and there
now.
Is a connection between that and the common enemy. The enemy, it seems as though, that we face today is far more degenerate than even the one that they face. My God, could you imagine the heroes of the old Confederacy? The names, you know, the Lees, the Jacksons, the Forrests, the Davises, the Hills, the Picketts.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine trying to explain to them what this, what's going to be going on in the United States in the current year.
I'm sure if they could, they'd be spinning in their graves at about 2,000 RPMs, you know.
Lee regretted the surrender.
Exactly.
Even shortly thereafter. Could you imagine what he'd think if he had this foresight? God.
And everything that those men predicted that would happen as a result of the South losing the war has come true in spades. You know, it's even worse than they predicted. But
they could have never foreseen what has happened.
They
here.
Couldn't have foreseen how bad that it has gotten. But they knew that it was going to go that way, and so, you know, it's our duty here in this day and time to build upon that wisdom and build upon that tradition, and try to convince as many of our fellow Southerners as possible that this is the cause you need to be fighting for today. You know, we need to be governing ourselves according to our own worldview. We need to. It's the only way we're going to preserve our civilization.
And Mark, that
going
goes
forward.
Back to what we were talking about in the last hour: is that even when our states, the state legislatures of the current South, as beleaguered as they are and as weak as they are compared to their betters, even when they try to do the right thing, voting, legislating, it doesn't get anywhere. Federal judge overturns it, and then we just move on to the next defeat. I mean, that's just not a way. There's no future in that.
That's right. You know, John C. Calhoun talked about king numbers, and the problem is there's more of them than there are of us, and so it doesn't matter how much of a fight we put up in the federal Congress. They outvote us every single time. So we're always going to be on the losing end of the stick as long as we're pinned to this union with
bloody
bayonets.
But you still see a difference as watered down as it may have been compared to the general article, there is still a difference in so many ways, culturally, spiritually, between the South and its geographical surroundings, which, as we so often say, is the first prerequisite of being an independent nation.
That's right. No doubt about that. And, you know, case in point of what you were just talking about, a few years ago, Alabama tried to do something about illegal immigration. We passed a law that said we were going to do what the federal government wasn't doing. And within days of that law going into effect, the area of Alabama where I live has a lot of illegal Mexican immigrants who work in the chicken processing plants up in that part of the state. And they emptied out. I mean, you could see buildings that were boarded up. We were shopping for a new car at that time, and the salesman had a daughter in one of the local schools there, said that the student population of her school dropped by 30% overnight because all the Mexicans fled. Well, predictably, the federal government filed suit against the state of Alabama. Some federal judge struck down our law, slapped us on the hand, and said, no, that you're bad, Alabama. You can't do that.
Every time we try to do something right, or our elected officials try to do something right, they take this defeat. At what point will it be too much? Is it going to be with the murder and the mocking of our dead, the mutilation of our children's reproductive organs? I mean, at what point do the people say we've got to turn and take a stand?
We've tried to do it on several fronts. You know, whether it's abortion, or sodomite unions, or immigration, or several other issues that you could name. Every southern state over the last quarter of a century has taken steps to try to do something about it.
And you can't
things.
Satiate their hatred. There is no offering you can give them that will be enough. It's always the next thing, and there's never any credit given.
And every time it's a federal judge that strikes us down. So the question I have is, at what point do the southern people realize that the United States is their enemy?
Amen. Amen. Mark Tommy, you want to be a part of the solution? Join the League of the South.
Yep, League of the South, www.leagueofthesouth.com.
There it is.
Join the fight.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Jim.
Hey, big round of applause. Well done,
Captain. The Honorable Cause of Free South is a collection of 12 essays written by Southern nationalist authors. The book explores topics such as what is the Southern nation, what is Southern nationalism, and how can we achieve a free and independent Dixie. The Honorable Cause answers questions on our own terms. The book invites readers to understand for themselves why a free and independent Dixie is both preferable and possible. The book pulls in some of the biggest producers of pro-South content, including James Edwards, the host and creator of The Political Cesspool, and Wilson Smith, author of Charlottesville Untold, Arkansas congressional candidate and activist Neil Kumar, host and creator of the Dissident Mama podcast, Rebecca Dillingham, author of A Walk in the Park, My Charlottesville Story, Identity Dixie's Patrick Martin, and yours truly, Michael Hill, founder and president of the League of the South, as well as several other authors. The Honorable Cause is available now at Amazon.com.
True Passover versus Easter. The Catholic Church and most denominations follow the Jewish Passover. Here is the Jewish tradition. The Passover takes place 14 days after the new moon, after the equinox. But what does God say? In Isaiah 1, verse 14, quote, "Your new moon feasts and your appointed festivals I hate with all my being," unquote. Now notice God's word versus Jewish tradition. Quote, "In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at twilight is the Lord's Passover," unquote. That's from Leviticus 23, verse 5. God's year begins on the spring equinox. Passover is always on the 14th day of God's year, the 14th day after the equinox. The Sunday after the Passover is Resurrection Sunday. None of this is about fertility, which is exactly what Easter is all about. Easter bunny and eggs, fertility rites, are paganism.
Our gallant boys have marched to the rolling of the drums. Shout, shout, the battle cry of freedom. And the leaders in charge cry out, come boys, come. Shout, shout, the battle cry of freedom. Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around the bonnie flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout, the battle cry of freedom.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Political Cesspool. James Edwards, the indefatigable host of this phenomenal program, is taking a little break, and he's allowed me to sit in momentarily for this segment. And we have a couple of great men to render commentary at this time. Many of you are familiar with the broadcasting network, RBN, Republic Broadcasting Network. We have Steve Widener here right now, who is going to tell us a little bit about what's going on with his program or his broadcasting on RBN. Steve, have at it.
Thank you. Thanks very much for having me. I host a program on Republic Broadcasting Network called Thought Crime Live, Saturday mornings at 11 a.m. Eastern, 10 Central. And I really am glad to be here. I did my show live from here earlier today, and often when I'm in the neighborhood, I don't live too far from here. If I'm going to be on the RBN show or if I'm going to be in the neighborhood, I'll host my show right here from this coffee shop. There are always great people here. You can meet someone here and have an intelligent conversation with them a lot more often than you do out there in the normie world, I have to say.
And it's great to have people to interface and interconnect with like that and know that you've got a hospitable environment to get the truth out, and that's what it's all about. What your show today, what did it deal with? Was it involved with Confederate history in any way?
Well, I initially played a clip where Tucker Carlson was talking about this new Restrict Act and what that does, how it's a bipartisan effort, just like the Patriot Act was. They had it all ready to go for the latest problem. Just we always end up the losers when they do that. So I started talking about that, and then Mark Tommy joined me and talked about the League of the South for a bit. We took some calls, and you know, the first time that I came here last July, I came just to meet Mike Gaddy because I had learned so much from him over listening to his broadcast. So I have to tell you, I felt like I came home for Christmas when I came up here last July. It was just awesome. I really enjoyed it, so I've been back ever since. That was the second week that I had had my own show there, and Mike Gaddy is now doing a show on Saturday afternoon called Rebel Madman Radio on Republic Broadcasting Network from 4 to 6 Eastern, 3 to 5 Central, and it's a terrific program. He wasn't able to make it here to this event today, so I hosted his show with Mark today, and we talked a lot about Confederate history. We talked about the 69th Mountain Regiment in North Carolina during the war, the Cherokee Regiment, and gave some of their history.
Wow, there's so much information that our people need to know about, and knowledge is power. There's no question about it. So we salute you.
Thanks.
And all of the great people at Republic Broadcasting Network, and we miss John Stadtmiller greatly. He was a great individual and did a great job bringing that network to fruition and making it a force to be reckoned with.
It's so ironic. He died 20 years to the day after Bill Cooper had been assassinated. And Richard Carey and I were planning to come on that day to do a show about the assassination of Bill Cooper and his, you know, his legacy. And then we weren't able to make that show because Mr. Stadmiller died that morning. It just seemed like so much. The odds against that are so incredible. But I'm very glad to be here. Thanks for letting me plug our network and our shows.
Sure.
I appreciate it.
Well, again, we've all got to work together because, like Ben Franklin said, either we hang together or we hang separately, right? So Kyle McDermott is also here, and I've had the pleasure, the blessing of talking to him for quite some time this afternoon. And he is a man who has transplanted, I guess you could say, from up in the Empire State. And
the capital of the empire.
Yes, right. And has written a book called The Declaration of White Independence.
That's
now,
right.
The Declaration of Independence is a pretty powerful document.
Yes,
but Kyle, I think you've tweaked things a little bit and made it a little bit more relevant to our circumstances today.
I've tweaked things a little bit and made it very relevant. Do you remember not too long ago when the creature occupying the White House who identifies as the vice president? You know who I'm talking about.
Yes.
Right. She gave a speech. And she said she was talking about where our rights come from. We are endowed with certain unalienable rights. We're endowed with certain unalienable rights, but she dropped out the word creator. Why would she do that? Because our rights are God-given. They come from the creator. If that idea is taken away from us, then the government can do whatever it wants to us. It can take away our rights. It can negate the Bill of Rights. And turn us into basically postmodern slaves, global serfs on a plantation, ruled by the global Judeo-plutocracy.
Isn't it amazing to think that Kamala Harris could actually have been, I believe she was Attorney General. Mm-hmm. They can cover for anybody.
Yes.
And use these puppets, you know, these absolute, often imbecilic people, mm-hmm. Someone such as Biden, of course, and you know, just use them as their front people.
Right.
But when individuals begin to take the initiative to promulgate the truth in this manner and interject it into the mainstream of the dialogue, right. The conversation that we're having, the very important conversation about what are we going to do to solve these problems, I think it's great, you know, to see the results. And so I'm looking forward to reading your book. And it's got certainly a provocative cover on it. I know you put the snake on there. Don't
right.
tread on me.
Right.
And that really is a critical dimension of this. We tap dance around it sometimes, and I don't want to push the envelope too far. But you know, the communist murderer Mao, he said power grows out of the barrel of a gun, and that's why, you know, peace through strength. If you have the strength, then you probably won't have to use it. It's when you relinquish and surrender it that you will have to. Does your book deal with that aspect of the Declaration, when a long train of abuses and usurpations, et cetera, et cetera?
It does deal with that. And if you look at what the federal government, or the occupation regime is what I call it, has done to our people and has done to this republic over the past century, it's a long train of usurpations. And it's all evinces the same object, to turn us into global serfs on a plantation of where we have no rights. How do you negate, or how do you fight Marxist materialism? If you have an argument with anybody in the university, a professor, or anybody today who talks about science, they all come from a materialistic perspective. And materialism basically stands for the point that there's nothing, there's no numinous meaning in the universe. There's no higher purpose. There's no soul, no spirit. And how do you fight that? If you do it on a secular basis, if you want to take these people on and talk to them and argue with them from a secular basis, how do you do it? Well, if you look at the creation of the universe, reality came from a very small, about the size of a pea. And from that pea-sized point of origin came us, the universe, and everything you see, everything we're sitting here having a conversation right now based upon that small, tiny beginning. So how do you characterize that expansion of space, time, and matter, energy? You characterize that by it's an ordered expansion. It's not a big bang. It's not a random expansion of matter, energy, and space-time. It's an ordered process put in place by the Creator, and we are the result of that ordered process. And we are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights by the Creator, not by the government. And that's what the book really gets at. That's the thrust of the book.
Well, that's a great treatise there that you have endeavored to cover the waterfront of in a very succinct manner. And again, I'm looking forward to reading the book, as I'm sure a lot of people will be. Again, the name of that book is The Declaration of White Independence.
His time has come, by the way.
That's right.
His time has come.
You can't fight the idea whose time has come.
That's right.
And we are being painted into a corner, and necessity being the mother of invention is leading us to the point where we've got to do something.
Every other people on this planet have the right to self-determination and to exist except us. And why is that? Why? Ask yourself that. And
who is that, Rick?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's because of our speciality. It's who we are. We are a people who have been inordinately blessed by our Creator. He is a sovereign God. And, you know, we're not deserving of all of the blessings that we're the recipients of, but He has given these blessings to us. And along with the endowment comes a responsibility of towering profundity. And that's what we now have to discharge. We've got to step back into the shoes of our progenitors, those men and the women, and we've got to walk mightily in the faith of our fathers. And just because it hasn't been done in our lifetime doesn't mean it can't be done, right? Right. We can take great heart and we can take great inspiration from the pages of Holy Writ, mm-hmm. the examples of Scripture, as well as our Reformation fathers, great men in the time of the Reformation, and when they had to fight, you know, the oppression of the combine of the church and the state working together. And then, of course, also, you know, the Revolutionary and our Confederate ancestors. We have no shortage of great inspirations and examples, and even those among us today, great men today.
Rick, you've done such a great job in hosting this particular segment. I want to thank Steve Whitener and, of course, Kyle McDermott for joining you in this. And when I'm surrounded by talent, I've been in this business long enough to know it's time to let the talent take over. And I saw you three, and I was like, let's just give them a segment. But do you think that it in any way demoralizes the regime or the system to know that in spite of their best efforts to censor, to stamp out, to demoralize, there's still this many people that are tuned in tonight, that are here today, that are just not going to go along with their plans? We got about 15 seconds.
I know that it's a great consternation to them that that's the truth, but they are delusional and they're drunk with power, and we need to never forget that.
We'll be right back, everybody. How about these three guys right here?
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA News, I'm Jerry Varmish. The death toll is rising from Friday's strong tornadoes. At least five people died in Arkansas.
Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders says her state is pulling together after tornadoes left a trail of death and destruction.
From a city, a county, a state, and a federal perspective, I would say that everyone is working in total lockstep.
Starting with the first responders, who were first on the scene.
I think the real story here isn't the damage that happened, but it's the heroes that were born out of the tragedy.
Sanders says she has been in contact with President Biden and Secretary of Homeland Security Mayorkas, who promised full federal support for impacted communities. I'm John Schaefer.
Overall, at least 22 people were killed from the tornado stretching from Illinois to Mississippi. Security is being ramped up in New York City ahead of former President Trump's expected indictment on Tuesday. After flying into LaGuardia Airport Monday night and spending the evening at Trump Tower, Trump will head to the courthouse in Manhattan to turn himself in at 2:15 Eastern Time. Reports indicate that he will not be handcuffed, but will be taken to a 15th-floor courtroom to be fingerprinted and processed. Trump lawyer Joe Tacopina says, planning aside, this is uncharted territory.
We don't really know what's going to happen Tuesday because logistically this has never happened before. We have the Secret Service involved in an arraignment. When have you seen that before?
All other Supreme Court cases in the New York courthouse will be adjourned that afternoon. The Justice Department is suing Norfolk Southern Railway over the toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio. The lawsuit alleges the railway company violated the Clean Water Act for pollutants that were allegedly discharged when a train carrying hazardous material derailed in a fiery crash near the Pennsylvania border in February. President Biden is reportedly skipping King Charles's coronation in May. This is USA News.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer, and again, airfare...
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia.
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
They have laid down their lives on the bloody battlefield. Shout, shout, cry of freedom. Their motto is resistance to the tyrants, never yield. Shout, shout, the battle cry of freedom.
Our Dixie forever, she's never at a loss. Down with the eagle and up with the cross. We will rally around the party flag, we'll rally once again. Shout, shout, the battle cry of freedom.
That is the Confederate version of the Battle Cry of Freedom. Hunter was asking me what music we got tonight. Well, we're going to be playing all different kinds of antebellum and Confederate-themed music, Southern-themed music, not even all antebellum, some years after the war, decades after the war even. But it's all going to be Southern in theme. But tonight we stuck with the big three, Dixie, Bonnie Blue Flag, and Battle Cry of Freedom, Southern version, of course. But those lyrics are pretty powerful here. I printed them out as well, but that's good stuff. And anyway, we've got Hunter back with us tonight. Now, Hunter is one of the jolly boys around here. I told this story a second ago. I think I tell it every time he's on. Only guest I've ever had in all these years who got multiple proposals when he was on. This is the truth. And even some of other ladies in our audience would say, oh, my, those jolly – I do declare those jolly boys. Matt's jolly and the jolly boy. The jolly boys here of Dixie Republic are a force to be reckoned with for sure. And if we are ever going to turn around, it's going to be done by men like Hunter, who is a husband and father and entrepreneur. He owns his own business and has really become a great friend of mine. I think of some of the past broadcasts we've done in South Carolina. And I went to a Confederate museum in Greenville. We've broken many times. We've shared some stories. And it's just always, I'm shaking the hand of Hunter right now. Hunter, it's always so good to see you. We are a kindred spirit, and I love you dearly. And let's welcome you back as Rick Tyler is co-hosting this hour with me. What message do you want to share tonight? I said, I don't know, Hunter, how we're going to top anything we've done in the past because your previous segments have been so profound and good. I have learned a lot from this guy, too, by the way. When I went to the Greenville Confederate History Museum and learned about states' rights gist. Now, you got to understand, our ancestors were serious about their cause. They named their children after the cause. The man's name was States Rights. So,
his brother's name was Independence.
So, there you go. So, but it's a wonderful museum up here. A lot of good times with this guy. In the half dozen or so times I've been up here, can't wait for half a dozen more. Hunter, it's great to have you back on the show tonight. What message do you want to share with the audience tonight?
Really, I just want to promote an arm wrestling tournament that we have coming up. So that would be April the 15th. That's in 2 weeks.
Right back here at Dixie.
Right back here at Dixie Republic in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. So all you guys out there that are tough with your women, you tough online, you can come to our Dixie Strong Arm Contest here in Travelers Rest, South Carolina on April the 15th. Weigh-ins are at 4 p.m., event starts at 6 p.m. We got a 200-plus class. We have a 199-minus class, and there's a $1,200 reward. This will be your people, your kindred here, so come and join us.
Website.
DixieStrongArm.com is the website.
Now, obviously, Rick and I aren't going to be here because we don't take all that money, but no, I'm kidding. Maybe, but
we were trying the table out there. We've got
the table
is built, we were out there trying it out during the broadcast. So.
Oh my goodness! Okay, yep. So it's already getting really real around here. And that's 2 weeks from tonight, right back here at Dixie Republic. And by the way, folks, like I said, we've been here several times. If you have never seen Dixie Republic, you have got to get here. You've got to get here once. And I know from us running ads over the years, people from all over the world have been here, as far down as South America and even foreign countries like California have been here as a result of this. But anyway, Rick, I mean, the thing about it is having events that brings in the community, that's something we – I don't want to say harp on, because harp on has a negative connotation, but that is something that we really, really, really try to impress upon people, that what they're doing here is building the parallel society that must exist for our betterment and to enrich our people until this whole thing is sorted out. And by having public events and by just having a hangout where people can come and read and be together and drink coffee and fellowship on any given day, much less when there's big events like a book signing or a remote broadcast or a strong arm competition. What they're doing here and the ability that they have had to foster a sense of community amongst the people here in this area is really one of the most inspirational things I've ever seen in my entire career of covering these things.
Well, let me tell you something that I was told a little bit earlier. Of course, I have great interest in promoting big extravaganza-type meetings where we can bring the luminaries of our movement together. You know, the Kevin McDonalds, the Tom Sunics, the David Dukes. When we can bring all of these men, these personalities, these stalwart soldiers of our movement together. And I mentioned to the owner of this great establishment here that, boy, it'd be great if there was a meeting hall that could seat a couple of hundred people, theater style. He said, we're going to put it right out there. He pointed. Folks, here. Do you realize if we have, in combination with this already momentous establishment, of this Dixie Republic store and property here, this mercantile operation, James Edwards broadcasting from here. If we have a place where meetings can be held, where there's no danger of cancellation, where the people who are behind this operation are more than up for the task of protecting from the likes of the urchins and the miscreants of Antifa and BLM and these others. Can you imagine what a winning formula we're talking about here? Can you imagine? I mean, I'm excited.
What do you think about Rick Tyler? This guy's a force of nature. If I had his talent, I would have really made something of myself.
I could listen all night, man. This guy's good.
He's a wordsmith. He is. I tell you what, if I had your talent, Rick, I would have made something of myself in radio. But I knew he was coming. And I said, we got to feature him heavily on this particular broadcast. Anytime I can join forces with Rick, I know we got a slam dunk, can't miss show.
I just wanted to say, James, both you and I, though, we do have good faces for radio.
So my parents always said.
You know, the store here means a lot to the community. It's been here for 18 years now, near 20 years almost. And I live in a community right down the road here, and I can see people walking down the street with the same shirts that the original owner designed. I see it all the time. And so
he was here earlier today too.
Yep, he was here, and that's his original artwork. And so the ripple effect is powerful in this community, and that's what we need. We need a spot for us to, dare I say, a safe space for us to participate and gather.
Well, we're getting messages from all over the country, people saying how much they would love to be here tonight. And for people who have not experienced the kind of event and the kind of atmosphere that we are all in this evening, what are they missing?
You're missing a good time is what you're missing. What we have going on here is special. We have a conglomerate of people, local people in the community that come here, and it's a place that they can come and go and experience fellowship and take in moralizing content from
it
one
insulates
another.
Insulates you from?
From hell.
That puts it a fine point on it. Right. It insulates you from the hell of what America has become, and it gives you a sense of purpose, a sense of belonging. It makes you feel good about yourself, and it makes you feel good about being who you are and standing for what you stand for, and it insulates and reinforces all of that. It is what everybody should experience, because no man stands alone. I mean, it's a difficult thing. We need a community. We need a community of men who will hold each other accountable, and women who will play their roles, and families, and growing families, and a lot of people in this community have that.
Yeah, this is a in a world of darkness,
which cannot comprehend the light. This is the light that divides that darkness.
Hey, Rick, he almost got close to what you could have mustered in that
particular.
Well, I love it. I love the metaphors there and the biblical references. And again, we need to remember that's our foundation. By the way, I've always loved about James Edwards and the political cesspool, an unabashed, bold stand for Jesus Christ and the gospel. But light is more powerful than darkness. Life is more powerful than death. And truth is more powerful than the lie. And that's the bottom line. And we just have to wield these weapons of our warfare mightily and with courage and boldness. And we will win.
We will.
Do you believe that that's why our Confederate ancestors were as hated as we are today, because they stood against that force, Hunter?
Yes.
Yes, when you understand the philosophical and moral foundations that these men possessed, you know, men like Lee and Stonewall Jackson. I mean, he was just, you know, almost beyond measure in terms of his theological and spiritual aptitude. So, yes, we have huge shoes to try to fill. We're not really, obviously, we're not up to the task. We don't produce men today the likes of our forefathers, our great Confederate ancestors. But that's why they were hated, James, because they stood boldly, courageously, and you know, they could not be, they were undaunted in that stand for truth.
We might not can fill their shoes, but we'll do the best we can until God himself calls us home. One more segment to go. Let's hear it, everybody.
ITPC family, this is your host, James Edwards. Our friends at American Free Press have a special offer for listeners of this radio program. Subscribe to American Free Press today using coupon code TPC for half off the regular price. AFP is America's last real newspaper. Against all odds, AFP has and continues to publish a populist independent print newspaper with an unparalleled track record. Founded by a dedicated group of experienced patriots, AFP pulls no punches and tackles the most controversial and pressing issues from an America First perspective. Subscribe today for 1 year at just $29. That's half off the regular price. And receive a free copy of AFP's recently published report on George Soros, a $15 value. Visit AmericanFreePress.net today, coupon code TPC. Subscribe now at AmericanFreePress.net, coupon code TPC.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Do you know what is great about America? Ask an Immigrant. Ask an Immigrant is a new podcast dedicated to helping Americans, especially our youth, value, appreciate, and be grateful for the freedoms we have here in America. Join host Lydia Wallace Nuttall as she interviews immigrants from around the world to discover their inspiring personal stories about why they came to America. To learn more about why America is the most prosperous, greatest country in the world, download the Loving Liberty app or go to lovingliberty.net.
One more segment. How did it come to this? How did we get here? How did it go so fast? Let me get the attention of everybody still assembled here tonight after nearly 3 hours. Have y'all had a good time tonight?
Yeah.
Now, you know what we got to do? I see Rich way back at the back. What we got to do before the end of the show, we got to sing Dixie. That's what we do when we all get together. We're going to do that at the very end of the show, and we're going to sing it so loud, it's going to rattle that flagpole in Columbia where our flag came down on. We're going to shake that flagpole. We're going to sing it so loud. But I tell you what, the only thing shaking the flagpole out here is that 20 by 30 Confederate flag, that beautiful Christian cross of St. Andrews that's out there here at Dixie Republic, where you can also find Johnny Reb himself. We got Johnny with us right now. In addition to the Southern shop here, where you can get T-shirts, knives, souvenirs, flags, 10 signs, I mean, books, you name it. It's all here at Dixie Republic. You go to Johnny Reb's, right next door, that's the custom leather workshop. And I do mean custom.
Yeah, duh. That's why the word.
Knife and tool sharpening, it's all there. Now, Johnny can do anything with leather.
Everything but upholstery. I'm no bueno.
You know what I want to? You know the story I want to tell, probably, don't you?
Go ahead.
Now, well, first of all, let's let you tell us the kind of leather work and craftsmanship that you provide over at Johnny Reb's Leather and Gun and Knife Shop.
Well, generally, it's belts, holsters, wallets, purses, things of that effect. But every now and then, there's that weird oddball.
That you do specialty items as well.
I'll do anything.
If you need, if you're, you know, a female and you need a leather undergarment.
If you can wrap a cow around it, I will do it.
If you need a Cossack whip.
Yes.
Well, he's all about, what are you about? You're about leather, steel, and Southern heritage, right?
Yeah. It's all about Southern heritage and bringing back the old, the dead arts.
In all seriousness, that's right. Yeah. Bringing back skills and trades to our men and to our occupations, this is something, I mean, I don't want to say you're the last of the Mohicans, but people need to learn from you because we're going to need people that are undoxable. We're going to need people. Oh, look at this. Hunter's got one of the belts on right here, right now.
His is like double row print. He was a real pain in the ass to make that belt. But it turned out good.
It sure does. It looked good. It looked good for sure.
It was complicated for sure.
We need freebooters. We need people who can make a living doing the old trades, doing the old arts, and you're a master craftsman.
Everything but a cobbler. I can't resell a shoe, but everything else, yeah, bring it.
How's business? I mean, you've been doing this for a while now.
I've been doing this for over 20 years.
No, so that's a while. As long as I've been on radio.
Yeah, I'm pretty much a boomer with a needle.
You don't look like any boomer I know. I mean, do you want to tell them how you're attired tonight?
Oh, God. Camouflaged kilt, a Jack Henson T-shirt from Dixie Republic. And
tell us about Jack Henson.
Jack Henson, oh, God. I can only hope to aspire to be a pimple on the ass of Jack Henson. He was a sniper with a musket.
Yeah, a sniper with a musket.
This man was a legend, beyond legends. Carlos Hathcock, he had a Model 70 Winchester in Vietnam. Jack Henson, he did this, was it a 58 caliber? He was a legend. Over 100 kills. Carlos Hathcock, 93 kills. With modern.
With a scope.
Yes, with a Uternell scope in Vietnam. And I'm fixing to get misty.
That's all right. No, I tell you what, this will do it.
He's a shooter. He was the man. The man. So anyhow.
There's a lot of forgotten heroes of the Confederacy that we like to make mention of. I'll actually let Hunter tell the story. Can you tell us the story of Mance Jolly? Tell us Mance Jolly. Now, because that's what we say. We say Mance Jolly owns the place, and then we have the Jolly Boys here. But Mance Jolly is another one. I mean, Mance Jolly sought vengeance, and he was God's instrument. He was highly effective. Righteous vengeance. That's right, righteous vengeance. Not like the trans day of vengeance that they were going to have today. This is a righteous vengeance.
Yeah, Mance Jolly was a local hero. We have a...
He was
in Anderson. We have a Mance Jolly Street down here in South Carolina, and he was you could call him a Confederate guerrilla. And so he came home from war, and he lost all of his brothers, and he came home to military occupation and Negro rule. and was extremely oppressed and distraught looking at his homeland, and he decided to take a vengeance out on them.
For his brothers.
And they say that First Blood movie Rambo was based off of him, his story loosely. If anybody's seen Rambo.
What was the math? He said for each brother.
All right, hold on right there. We lost a quick connection to the studio. So tell us very quickly the story of the red shirts, which is what we were talking about before we lost connection.
You'll have to tell us on the phone.
Yeah, the red shirts were a vigilante group in South Carolina. They were the Redeemers. They were the ones that got us out of the hell that was Reconstruction. And Wade Hampton yielded that bunch during those awful years of Reconstruction. And they saved this state, and they could muster men within 24 hours, 1,000 men or more within 24 hours. So, and they were mostly on horseback, and that would be the story of the red shirts was straight up vigilante justice.
When there is no other justice, where can you go? But there are sometimes, Johnny, take this like a regular phone. We're going to try to get reconnected to the studio with the mics. I believe we just did, actually. So, okay. Jay, I'm going to drop you there and take us back on the mic.
So, Johnny, a final word to you this segment before we sing Dixie. If people want custom leather work, but that's not the only service you provide.
It's not the only service. bring your problems.
Lead, leather, and steel. Lead, leather, and steel.
Bring your problems. We'll remedy.
So if people aren't in the local area, they can't bring by their gun, they can't bring by their knife, they can't bring by their leather needs, lead, leather, and steel, how can they get in touch with you? How can they send it to you to get custom
first
work done on these items?
Text me, 864-207-6506. Dox me, bitches.
That's why we wanted to close it. Hey,
Johnny Rebel!
The only Johnny Reb there is. This guy is in boots, a camo kilt, a Jack Henson shirt, an NJP hat, and you got the...
Look at those guns he's got. Those biceps.
Where are your guns at? Oh, yeah, his biceps are his guns, yeah. Although I have seen a few people packing the traditional guns.
Come see us at Dixie. We can remedy your problems. We can special order stuff for you. Lynn is very creative on her new press shirts. Paul, he's very creative, very helpful. Just come see Dixie. Have a nice day.
DixieRepublic.com. Johnny Rebel, everybody, the one and only. I try to close every show I can here with Johnny. There's none other like him. For everybody that's been a part of the program tonight. Hey, you know, we had a gentleman here. I'm looking at him right now. He shared a story of a Pat Buchanan story with me of when he was on a Delta flight with Pat Buchanan, this guy right here. You know, I got my start with Pat. And anyway, You never know who you're going to run into in South Carolina. So for everybody here, for everybody who's been on the program tonight, let's close out the first show of Confederate History Month with a rousing rendition of Dixie. Hunter, you be the orchestra. You be the maestro.
Oh, I wish I was in the land of cotton. Old times there are not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixieland where I was born early on a frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Oh, I wish I was in Dixie. Hooray, hooray. In Dixieland I'll take my stand to live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south.
Talk to you next week, everybody. Good night and God bless.